Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. Don't title again. I'm Daddy Lonely, the Eledumare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
And welcome to another episode of the Dixon Jeans Canada Shorts. It is, what is it? It's Friday, July 26th, I think. And I'm here, we are here, at Black Creek Pioneer Village. We've been here before. It seems a tradition that I record from here. I turn my students loose on the two tour guides we hire, along with their Japanese teachers and the Canadian ESL teachers. And I just sort of excuse myself and find a spot in the shade. I made the mistake of walking. It's hot. I'm sweating. I know enough to just do a minimal of exercise. Do a minimum of exercise. Just find a cool spot and enjoy it. But where I was sitting was very busy and people coming and going, and I wouldn't be able to give an open talk the way I am now. I'm slightly isolated from the group. A lot of school kids here, daycare programs. It's just a tradition. You come to Black Creek Pioneer Village. It's right up near York University. I was very surprised. I did not realize the subway actually runs all the way up here. And the subway stop is called Black Creek Pioneer Village. So, of course, that's where our bus driver took us and then got his cell phone out again and realized I'm in the wrong spot. Now, the funny thing about this Pioneer Village is what you are hearing above me. We are directly under the flight path to Pearson. And so we're always hearing those noises above head. But a lot of old buildings, it's a bit run down. Like this would be, if this was compared to Disneyland, this is kind of a poor cousin, a wannabe. What I don't like is they have the authentic buildings, but everywhere around there are, like, I'm sitting at a modern picnic table. Well, that shouldn't be here. If I was running this place, I'd say, no, if you're going to have a picnic table, make it look like something and make it uncomfortable. Who cares? Something old, the way the benches are. But outside they have trash cans and a recycle can, and that's good for the environment, but why not pay a couple of kids to be here and have them, you know, sort through or pick things up. And how much trash should people be carrying around anyway? There's a dining area. There shouldn't be that much. But to have these things here and in another whole section with recycle and everything else, yeah. But it just stands out. It really takes away. So anyway, that's my 2 cents worth, and probably not even worth that much. So what's on the list for today? Well, two killers still on the loose in Canada, teenage killers. It's a very hard thing to fathom. One of the fathers saying my son is kind and gentle and cares about people. And the other father saying my son is going to go out in a blaze of glory. I don't expect him back alive. Very, very strange. Poor kids. Oh boy, here comes my group. So I'm going to have to put this on pause, okay? It'll look weird otherwise. And we're back. Yeah, I can't sit here and record in front of the students. This is the point of the tour that's interesting because I really don't know them. I see who's going with which family, but it's not till the very end when I interview the girls one-on-one that I'm able to piece it all together. Ah, that was your homestay. Ah, you're this one. And now they are just many, and I see the smiling faces. Ah. I don't want to focus just on this, but really that's all that's going on in my life right now. This is day 4, I suppose. They arrived Tuesday, today's Friday, yeah. And I'm enjoying it very much. Now, I don't know where I was when I last recorded But I think I had already made up my mind this was my last tour. And that changed. Once again, on the first day, there are so many parents enjoying it so much. And the girls obviously are. And when you see these connections, and then when you see the Canadian students I've recruited who are just fabulous, really enjoy this. I had one girl today, very, very interesting young lady of Ethiopian heritage, who couldn't eat halal meat or sandwich or chicken, which was interesting. It's always the other way around. I've got to get halal food for the Muslims. This one, she was Christian and couldn't. And I thought that was an interesting thing. And of course, today was the day we talked about multiculturalism and religious backgrounds, and it's so different from the for the Japanese girls who are just so much from the same sort of socioeconomic background and, you know, individual personalities and tastes for sure and appearance, but a homogenous group, especially going to this particular school. And anyway, that aside, there are just so many reasons that to keep going, even though I was absolutely sure I would stop. So I'm in the middle of doing a complete reevaluation. I'm learning to slow down, pace myself, take it easy so that I can last. And then the secret would be maybe finding a partner. And I think there's already one person who's spoken up who would like to be a little more involved, perhaps. So there are going to have to be some talks, some negotiations, some open airing of issues, and then decide what my future is. So even though I insisted to Barnacle Bill, it's 100-0, yes, for sure, this is my last tour, I would say it's back to 50-50 now, whether there'll be another tour next year. The school certainly wants it. They've asked me to start planning. And part of me thinks, well, why not? You know, it's not that I'm too sick and can't do it. There's a part of me just thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to anymore. And then I get here and I'm in the middle of it and I realize what a wonderful thing. And this one student today, who I spoke to at length, asked me why I was doing it and saying it's such a good thing, especially for young people. And it was wonderful to hear that coming from, you know, a 16 or 17 year old high school student. Canadian high school too, student telling me this, like, you should keep doing this, it's great. So that's sort of the bigger picture, and I just have to think about, okay, how and what would a partnership look like, and should I keep it under this company and have somebody else buy into the company? And anyway, stuff I shouldn't be sharing with you at all, but stuff that's going on in my mind, and I guess reflects the continual state of flux that my life is in, of just sort of revisiting things. And I think part of me is thinking, oh, I could be traveling this time of year, but then why would you need to travel in July and August when everybody else is? Isn't this a perfect time to be on this kind of a program? But anyway, let's park that. There was another, what do they call those, alerts? The name keeps escaping me, when everybody's cell phone rings at 3 in the morning to tell you that a child, a two-year-old child, has gone missing, and there's a person in a car with two other women suspected of being the culprit. And, of course, there's a backlash. This alarm is really loud. You do not sleep through that. You wake up. And I've had the feeling from the beginning that, you know, okay, yeah, it's a good thing. However, the people who are sleeping in the suburbs at 3 in the morning aren't likely to look out the window and see the car that somebody's looking for, you know, a gray sedan. This is not going to happen. The police are on the lookout. And I think these alerts should go to all police stations across the province, ambulance services, first responders, fire departments. And then if technology evolves, of course, the television, anybody who's got the television on will get this big warning. I think a car radio would be great, because that means somebody is out on the road at 3 in the morning when these things go off. But when you really weigh how many of these people, everybody says, yeah, but they, what if they find the child or they do find the child? Yes, well, that's often the police who find them anyway. You do have to weigh, to be fair. A lot of people say, oh, you can't even talk about it, and anybody who calls 911 to complain should be sued. And, yeah, don't call 911 to say, I don't want to call. Shut your cell phone off. That's one easy solution. But the other one is maybe refine it just a little, because there is a great inconvenience for people. And it's not just, I'm not just saying inconvenience. A lot of people have trouble sleeping. And if you're woken up with a very loud alarm that you cannot ignore at 3 in the morning, and then a follow-up at 3:30, when in fact they found the person at 1 o'clock, but that message didn't get out to everybody, that's a problem. And there's people who have maybe an exam the next day, or a presentation, or something they have to do that's important, and they just cannot get back to sleep. Somebody who's, you know, on a job that requires a great deal of alertness, a surgeon, and he's woken up at 3 in the morning, you know, sending this blast out to everybody, I don't think is a solution. So anyway, that's my opinion. I'm only bringing it up because it's one of those things that's become taboo to talk about. You know, if anybody complains, you're wrong, period. Black and white. And now, after this second round, people are starting to say, well, now, hang on a sec. Maybe we need a discussion about this. Maybe it does need to be refined a little. And that's what I'm saying. I just wanted to give you my opinion on that. I guess there's nothing else to say, so I may as well just cut this short, being a short podcast, and get back to you when I do have something to say. Overall, the tour is just going so well. I am really enjoying it. I am happy to be here. The only hell I go through is trying to find enough host families, and it sounds like I'm going to have plenty of other people helping out next year, so that may no longer be a problem. We'll see. Scarborough Dude, singing out from Black Creek Pioneer Village, where you can hear the airplanes above.
Different way. She shimmies like a flipper, got $1 million phone. She's a high stepping mama, but she won't step high long. Stepping mama, she's wrecked a many a man, but here's one guy she won't wreck. She's in the daddy's camp. I told her many a time she'd better not go wrong. She's a high stepping mama, but her stepping days are gone.
check, check, check. I'm horizontal, so my voice won't be at its best, but I am so glad I changed the settings on this recorder. I think it got rid of that heavy breathing that upset Tom so much. And speaking of Tom, I just found a clip, and either you've just heard it, or you're going to hear it at the end. But Tom had sent me, when I was, you know, begging for feedback, many years ago, I'd say, because he's referring to the trip I made to China, and that was a long time ago. And I don't think he's had many calls from Tim Coyne recently, I don't know. But, boy, thanks, Tom. It was a real rush to hear that again. He said a lot of things that that touched me. Now, I don't think people feel that way about the podcast now. But just even knowing that there was a time when the Dixon Janes podcast meant something to a few special people, that really really means a lot. Now, I would say, I have to say, I do get mentioned occasionally from Jason in Tennessee, and it warms my heart every time I get some reference about at least Ken's trying to be honest. And it makes me feel like, yeah, there's a purpose to this. So, enough self-referential stuff. This is the final clip I'm going to include. Where I'll position it in the podcast, I don't know. I don't even know if I'll include a song or not. It's Saturday evening. I spent the day working. I have to. This is the weekend while the students are here. They're off with their host families. Everybody's doing something different. And I use the weekend to catch up. I had a lot of bills to pay, data to enter into Quicken so I can keep track of the money that's going out. And, you know, just a little bit bookkeeping, tidying up, organizing, getting ready for next week. What else do I have to do? And while I was entering the data, I just noticed that my bill for the spaghetti factory was $200 more than last year's, even though we had fewer people. And so I thought, well, I got to deal with that. And sure enough, I called, got the manager. I could tell he was really busy. I said, well, look, just look at it. Call me back or email me after you've had a time. And he said, yeah, I'll go back, get your file and so on. And eventually I got a call back with sincere apologies, and they were, and explaining that I had got the dinner menu price instead of the lunch menu price. I won't get into why that happened, but it shouldn't have happened. And I'll say it here. I won't put it out on the internet or anywhere else because he handled it nicely. The portion I got was supposed to have been a bigger portion, and I know damn well that portion was the same size. But anyway, he saw what had happened and said, tell me what I can do to fix this for you. And I liked that approach. It was open, and I had already made up my mind. I just want, you know, $200 off. I want it to be like last year's price. Just refund $200. And he did. And that was nice. And I'm telling this because it's not a complaint. It's, okay, you got to be a little bit vigilant when you're running a business. But I wanted to handle it in a nice way. I wanted it handled nicely. I didn't want an argument. I didn't want threats. You know, I'm going to go on and post a review about your shitty place, you know. I didn't want any of that crap. I just wanted, let's resolve this fairly together. You can see the mistake. You know, I knew I was in the right. And it was done. And that makes me feel good. The tour has had all these good feelings about it.
My son spoke today. I brought up the issue again, and this kind of relates to what Tom has said or will say, that I can change from one moment to the next. And really, in all sincerity, this was going to be my last tour. This was it. I'm done. And I was spending all my energy focusing on how am I going to tell the school? What approach should I take? How should I deal with this? It's a big decision. And now, I would be very surprised if I'm not running a tour next year, you know, unless something really bad happens. I've got, and the thing is, to book my places, I have to start now and reserve. You know, of course you can cancel those, but still, that's, we're moving forward. And this is a complete about face. This is a complete 180 compared to I was even a week ago. And I'm okay with that. That's just the way life is. Mostly it's due with so much positive feedback, so many people feeling so happy, and in particular from the student side of things. And so I had this discussion with my son today. Now my son, younger son, so I'm driving him to the airport, has very much a pragmatic business approach. Don't just sell it, you know, and, you know, capitalize on it, sell it as a model, you know, franchise, all these ways he's talking about how I should be making money, and I'm arguing, no, I just do it for the love of it. And so we had different approaches, but the thing is, he did make me think, yeah, whatever decision I make, whether I bring in somebody else to help or sell part of the ownership of it to involve another person, whatever steps I take to keep this thing going and ease my burden a little, I've got to do very carefully, and it would involve legal advice, absolutely for sure. So anyway, I don't want to go too much on that, but that just sort of does get Tom in reference to this. Say one thing, and then, you know, suddenly it's something quite different. And that's exactly what's happening here. Life is very often moment to moment, you know, day to day, week to week, and what makes sense one day may not make any sense at all the next day. And I am just a perfect example of that. Making sense for sure was getting this road trek. And I am looking forward to that trip west. I can't really fully imagine it. And I won't until I'm actually on the road and screaming out, yes! But first, there is the matter of this tour to take care of. Friday I leave for camp. That's a week from now. I've got to be prepared. And then, of course, the usual travels. You'll hear from me from the road. But for now, this will probably be the last you'll hear from me from Toronto. I go to Niagara Falls on Thursday. One of the least favorite parts of the program. And I have to be there. I'm officially the guide as well. But that's okay. You know, I can handle it. So this, I think I'll end here. I just wanted to bring you up to date and get back to Tom. And maybe, because I'm keeping this short, maybe we can fit in a song too. So this has been Not a Dumont. What is it? I love that ending. By the way, I meant to say that to you, Jason. Your ending. A Dumont teletranscription, I forget what it is, but it's a perfect ending to the podcast. It's, yeah, I like it. Scarborough Dude, signing off. Bye for now.
So this is about your show and what it means to me, and I'll try to be brief. You asked people to send what we think about your show or what it means to us. And like you said, some of us have already done that, i.e. me. But I'll tell you what the show means to me. It means honesty. Your show, if for no other reason, it means honesty. And it's tough to come by. Why? Because people don't like to lay, you know, all their cards out for anybody to see, and I don't blame them necessarily. However, your ability to do that is something that is inspirational, and it makes people think, hey, you know what, maybe I can be more honest with my this person or my that person in my life. If not, you know, an audience of hundreds or thousands, and that means a lot. That means a hell of a lot. Now, again, you're going to love this. This is just an anecdote you're going to like. I'm at work the other night, and I get a phone call from Tim Coyne. Yeah, the man. I get a call from Tim Coyne, and I'm just like, oh, what the? Oh, hey, what's up, buddy? How's it going? How's Los Angeles? How's it not anything like Windsor? Because it's really awesome over there. How are you? And he's like, I just wanted to talk to somebody who I know listens to his show religiously. What are you saying? Scarborough dude. I knew that you listened to that show pretty religiously, right? I'm like, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about the last few shows he's had. And I'm like, this is crazy. Not only is like crazy good, this is phenomenal. You got a guy who lives 4,000, you know, kilometers away, and he wants to talk about the dude, and he wants to talk about it, not just message about it or even send one of these clips. So we started chatting about you in China and some of the things you were being involved in, the being sick, and how we reacted, where some people would be going, oh my god, he's so sick, and laughing maybe at some of the stuff and going, he's going to be right as rain tomorrow. He's sending notes to people saying, I regret ever coming to China, and he's going to have to send he's going to have to retract his statement and say, no, that was just a rough patch and I like it. And we can see that coming. And maybe you can't see that coming, but we feel like we know you because, but part of what you did when you said that elicited that kind of discussion from Tim and I, and that laughing at your sickness and you claiming that, you know, this is so bad, what am I doing here? Is that you are in the moment. And Tim was like, yes, you're so right. He is the moment. Like, that's what he is. He is the moment. You put it out there right then and there, and be damned with reason or whatever else. And if something changes your mind, you change your mind. And, you know, take it or leave it. There are some politicians that I am a real big fan of, that most people think are wishy-washy or they don't like them. And I like them because they are willing to change their mind and admit that they changed, you know, made a mistake and changed their mind, as opposed to someone who's toting a party line and just saying bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And you don't do that, right? You're in the moment. And then if the moment changes, you change. And that's why it's exciting to listen to you, because you have a good head on your shoulders, clearly. You're someone I look up to, for that reason. But you are an entertaining, you know, in your ways of dealing with the obstacles that come at you, and we know you're going to be good in the end. We know you're going to, you know, prevail, and you're going to have you're going to learn a lesson, right? It's like the end of a folk tale. You're gonna come away with something, some lesson, and that. It's not even prescribed. Like, I don't think you do it on purpose. It's the way you live. It's the way you do your show. And it's important. And I remember you listened to, you know, Shane and Tom Squeezebox when I went on a rant about, I can't find any shows that are like, you look up diary show, or you look up, like, how do you find what your show is? Honesty? Is there an honesty section? There's not. So to find what you do coming from anyone else, man, woman, child, it's very difficult. Like, nothing fits that category. And I told Tim, his is entertaining, and he tells a very fanciful story about his life being in Los Angeles with music and editing, and it's beautiful, and it's so good. It's different good. It's different good. And he, you know, he attested to that. Yeah, you're right. But, yeah, we love your show, dude, because it's you, right? Because it's you. And maybe you feel some kind of anonymity through the web, and you're a little more honest with us than you would be with some other people. But you're the man. Like, you just, we love you. And it's that simple. So that's why we're crazy about you and why we love getting your show every week and why we hate when you miss a week. And, yeah, you're just, you're the moment.